Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. There's Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I am in Peoria, Arizona. Yes, I am. I'm glad I got that right. Ryan, I assume you're in San Diego. Padres season. It is Wednesday, so we are 8 days from opening day. Just got back from the WBC. Seems a lot of people are talking about that and a certain Padre who was there and did not pitch in the final. Ryan, where would you like to start?
That's where I want to start, Kevin. You know, we get to do some cool things in our profession. To me, I was very jealous watching the WBC the last couple nights, knowing you were there. Take me through it. But before we talk about Mason Miller and the United States losing to Venezuela in the final, tell me about your experience in Miami and just your thoughts on the WBC in general.
You know, one of the things that stood out to me was as I tried to fall asleep last night, I realized I was still hearing drums. Like, it is really loud. It is loud baseball. And I've heard louder, but I haven't heard louder for 2.5 hours. Like, it is the murmur of a crowd. This is like a low roar almost the entire night. There's not a time that you're not somehow drawn into the game, or that you could, if you closed your eyes, tell there was nothing going on. You know, those moments in a baseball game or those periods, and especially in, say, a game where one of the teams isn't hitting at all. It's just the passion of the fans, and then the way that the Venezuela feeds off that, the way the Dominican feeds off of that. It is really cool to watch.
Right. It's not necessarily like going to a major league game where, Kevin, you could almost, with your eyes closed, based on the reaction of the crowd, guess what happened, right? Here it's just noise offset by more noise, right?
And the noise, and then the noise at the right times, you know, so to speak. Like, you know, when you're in a crowd that does know baseball, does know the moment, and that's what this is. It's noise, and then it's more noise, and it's people standing up, and it's the banging of the little drums and the little tin things, and then the blowing of the vuvuzelas and the whistle, and then it just gets louder, but it's just constant. That's the part. It's like, yes, all the different ways they make noise and the way the stadium shakes. Yeah, that's cool. But you know what? We get loud in the United States and playoff games and Petco Park, it's super loud. It's the constant noise.
Yeah. I mean, you described it in print, I think, after the Dominican Republic semifinal game against Team USA. It was something like 100 marching bands playing as 100 different birthday parties were being held at the same time, right?
Yeah,
it's just noise on top of noise on top of happiness, right? I mean, it was sort of.
Yep. You got it. That's it. That was it. Like that. I'm glad that you got what that word picture was, because it is happiness. And you could see the fans of the United States interacting with the fans of Venezuela, vice versa. Same with Dominican and the United States. I don't know that there were many Italian fans there. That was the other game. I was there for 3 games. It really was. It was a fantastic, fantastic scene. It can be better, and we'll get into that.
Yes. Real quick, Padres were well represented in the WBC, especially in the final weekend. They had two relievers, Ron Marinaccio and Alec Jacob, were on Team Italy. They were being managed by a former Padres coach. The Dominican Republic had Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, and Wandy Peralta, correct?
Let's not forget Wandy.
The Team USA had Mason Miller. And I think that's where I want to go next. This was a guy who looked just incredible, I thought, throughout the World Baseball Classic. And, you know, dating back to the time he got to the Padres less than a year ago, he's been nothing short of spectacular. With the game on the line yesterday, however, he did not pitch. Take me through maybe the rationale there. And if you're the Padres, are you kind of good with that? And did this come from them?
It came from them, and they are good with it. And so the situation is Bryce Harper hits a 2-run home run, and so it's tied going into the ninth inning. And Mason Miller was available to pitch in a safe situation, and that's not a safe situation. Now, we can talk about how that might be when you use your closer, right? But Mark DeRosa had basically said, he didn't flat out say, only if we're ahead, but he had basically said, I took it as, I knew how the Padres felt. I didn't know for sure what they had told DeRosa, but Mark DeRosa, the manager of the United States, said before the game, basically, only in a safe situation. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't surprised, and that goes to where, like, Tarek Skubal pitched, you know, started one game. A lot of guys pitch and leave. That's just the nature of this tournament, the timing of this tournament. The United States, and Mark DeRosa talked about it all the time, and he talked about it in a way of not irritated because he knew what he was dealing with, but in a way of like, this is really difficult to manage a team where you have the MLB teams managing you as the manager of when you can use pitchers. And so it was like, okay, yeah, Mason Miller's available to close out a victory, a championship, to pitch for the third time in 5 days. The player that the Padres have committed $4 million to this year, have for two more years after this, and by the way, gave up Leo DeVries for. So just like any other major league team, they have the right to say when their guy can be used, especially as he's ramping up in spring training, and he has been used, you know, two of the previous 4 days. So that's the explanation. And I mean, yeah, that kind of sucks for the United States. That said, they didn't need to have only got two singles and two walks before Bryce Harper's homer. And had, by the way, Garrett Whitlock had been very good. That's the pitcher who came in to pitch the eighth and gave up the go-ahead run, walked Lisa Rise leading off the ninth inning, Venezuela scores. You know, Mason could have come in and got three outs, and then the United States didn't score, and then you're going to the 10th inning. And I mean, look, that's the nature of this tournament. Now, if it's later in the year, maybe it'll be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's where I want to go next. You know, buried sort of near the end, or tucked near the end of your story today about the WBC final, was this, that there's a real chance there are people high up in Major League Baseball and elsewhere who would like to see this be essentially pool play and for the season to stop mid-season for essentially the final couple rounds of the World Baseball Classic. I know that there's a collective bargaining agreement coming up. If there's no lockout or strike, now is the time when discussions like this tend to happen. Kevin, can you see the World Baseball Classic moving into the summer, even if it means shutting down Major League Baseball for a week or two?
Well, it's really interesting. Mark DeRosa certainly thinks it's going there. It's clear that he's lobbying for it. He's very close to the players. And, you know, I don't know how all the players feel. It's interesting that Bryce Harper, and you could take it one of two ways. Earlier in the middle of the World Baseball Classic, Bryce Harper talked about, no offense to the Bryce to the World Baseball Classic, but everyone knows the Olympics is the real thing, right? Okay, well, that means that, like, the, you know, Bryce Harper wants to play in the Olympics in 2028, which players have said they want to do. That will require Major League Baseball going on an extended break. Did Bryce Harper just mean the Olympics? And hey, he's signaling, because Bryce Harper, I think we know where he stands in the union and who his agent is and all that. His agent is Scott Boras. And Bryce is obviously very pro-union and speaks a lot for the, you know, the players, takes that upon himself. They say, you know, we're going to be a little hard about that. So it's going to be fascinating to see where this goes with the CBA. But the fact is, to me, like, look, these games mattered, man. And it clearly mattered to certain teams. And I'm not saying it didn't matter to the United States, but we didn't get a national holiday today if the United States won. We didn't have 100,000 people in Washington, D.C. watching it on TV. Like, right. You know, players were weeping. Like, this was, there were players saying this was more important than World Series they'd won. Like, this was huge to Venezuela. I believe it was huge to the Dominican Republic. I am not saying it wasn't important to the United States players. But so I say this is huge. And then I say, This whole Mason Miller thing, this whole Tarek Skubal going home, this, I understand it and I'm actually for it, but that sort of makes this an exhibition.
Yep. Yep. It's limiting. And
yes,
you know, on the other hand, I am in the camp that says that all teams are playing by roughly the same rules. And I'm not sure that, we would have heard excuses or maybe rationalizations after the fact by Venezuela if they lost last night.
They didn't have Mason Miller. I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. They all play by the same rules. I'm also, hey, you had this vaunted lineup that scored one run, okay? Like, two runs. You got a home run. The fact is, the United States pays more for this. They have more better players. They have more better pitchers. They have, you know, the better pitchers for the most part.
They have the better pitchers for sure.
For the most part. You could argue Japan has, you know, if Shohei was available to pitch. But the United States pays a price for the situation.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. As a quick aside, the Gino Suarez interview on the field immediately after the thing yesterday is one of the top four on-field interviews I've ever seen.
He is a fantastic person from all, like, from players, from media, from everybody. Just one of the joyous people. And just like Luis Arraez is, it's fantastic.
Right. I know Luis Arraez is a polarizing person, or polarizing player in Padre history. I think your former co-host and I probably disagree a little bit on his place in the world. But it was pretty neat watching him lead his team onto the field carrying the Venezuelan flag before yesterday's game. Very neat. Kevin, can we talk some Padres here?
Yeah, here we go.
You're back in Peoria. When are you going to be joined by all the guys who were in Miami with you a couple days ago?
I would imagine tomorrow at the latest the next day. On one hand, like, it kind of doesn't matter in that they have time, all these guys now, right? Like, especially like Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., they're built up. I'm assuming that they'd really like to get Wandy in a couple games, get Mason Miller in a couple games. Wandy really didn't pitch that much. Mason Miller pitched four times in the tournament. That's not as much as, say, he would have pitched in actual games. But tell you what, they were a lot more, you know, higher leverage than they would have been here at the Cactus League. So there's five games left: Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Plenty of time for these guys to get work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's still a lot to be decided here. You know, it's less than a week left, or about, you know, less than a week left of Cactus League games. The Padres are still looking for some starting pitching here. There's still some bench decisions to be made. Let's start with the starting pitching. It appears as if Joe Musgrove is going to start the season on the injured list. This opens up one or maybe two starting pitching roles. Who do we think is going to get those two jobs?
Yeah, I mean, this has been, Craig Sammons said it the other day, almost you can take it as definitely, because it had been apparent for a week that Joe Musgrove was going to start on the injured list because, you know, he was just not ready. I honestly cannot remember the last time we did this, but I think we talked about it and how it was expected.
Yes, last week.
But that it's still a big deal that Joe's on the IL, but like that everyone is assuring me that this is just a matter of time and that Joe will be pitching and that they still do have a high-ish expectations of Joe. But how does this affect things? Well, Walker Buehler is going to be on this team. Before Germán Márquez, two starts ago, had what was described by several people who saw it and know more baseball than us as just awful. He was the guy that most people in the organization thought would get, would be battling Walker Buehler, which then you would think, okay, wait, if Joe's not going to be there, then that means both of them are going to make it, right? And then, you know, they're like really distraught, basically, about their starting pitching situation. Not that they were putting so much on that one start by Germán Márquez, but he'd shown promising signs. And then it was like, oh man, if he's not, like, we just don't have five starting pitchers at the start of the season. They could talk all they want about 162 games and opening day is just opening day and one time through the rotation, just one third. True, absolutely. But you're down, you know, you're starting with four starting pitchers. That's not good. Except the Padres have a day off after game three, a day off after game six. So that's six games in the first 8 days. You map it out, the Padres could get into the second week of the season, maybe even early in the third week of the season before needing a fifth starter if things go well and they are able to use their bullpen. Maybe have Herman Marquez on the team as a opener, as a reliever, have Bradley Rodriguez be an opener, and then get to Kyle Hart. And then you have Herman Marquez for a couple innings, depending on how the game's going, right? You're up, you're down, whatever. You get to the seventh inning. This is the most locked down bullpen. If they're at, you know, most of the same guys, and they're the most locked down bullpen in the game. The Padres believe it will be again, and they feel good about that. They can go one or two bullpen games, get through 3 weeks of this season. So that's one way to go. Now, Herman Marquez looked really good again. I missed it. Didn't see it myself, but looked really good again the other day. Look, all that, I think it's going to be Walker Buehler and Herman Marquez making this team.
Right. And that would mean of the other guys, Marco Gonzalez would probably be either in the minors or somewhere else. JP Sears has options left. He would be at AAA. And are we missing one more?
Tristan McKenzie would be in AAA. Matt Waldron, who went two innings the other day, it's just a matter of time before the Padres have to make a decision. He can start the season on the injured list. He's out of options. He can be on the injured list for 30 days. I don't think they're going to take that long with Matt Waldron. And eventually they've got to say, well, I guess we're done with Matt Waldron, or we are giving him a shot in the rotation. So that'll be the situation there.
Right. Could he be a long reliever, or is that just too weird?
I mean, he could, but they, you know, it just depends. Do they need that? Because they don't right now. I mean, right. Kyle Hart is pitching as well as they've ever seen. That's the guy that they would have been thrilled to have last year. He's a guy who last year was really good for three innings, and then in the fourth inning was awful, or two innings, and then the third inning was awful, or whatever. What was bad one inning and then took six pitches to get through the next two innings. Well, this spring, he has been, you know, really, really good. So they don't need that necessarily, but yes, they've talked before about it. They haven't used him that way in any meaningful way, but he could be. But no, Matt's a starter.
Yeah. The Padres, you know, will return Manny Machado. Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis will return in the next couple of days. That means that some of the guys who've been getting a lot of playing time in the last couple of weeks will sort of go into what their maybe more natural position would be, which is a bench bat or whatever. How do we see that spot for the final one, maybe two bench spots shaking out?
It'll be interesting because I want to get back in and really dive into it and talk to people about this. But my understanding has been that it was Bryce Johnson's job to lose the final bench spot, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of other variations that you go with. But Bryce gives you defense at three outfield positions and can run. All right. So, but you know who else can do that is Jace Bowen. And that's a kid who got his first AAA call up last year. He was AAA guy for the first time last year with the Pittsburgh Pirates organization, became a minor league free agent, signed with the Padres. This is a guy that they believe is going to play for them this year. I don't know if it'll be at the start, but had kind of up and down spring. There was a time they were like, we just don't think the bat's there, you know, but he has far more power than Bryce Johnson. He has beautiful swing. He plays the outfield beautifully. He can run just as well, maybe better than Bryce Johnson. I think it's a matter of time before Jace Bowen's on this team. I'm not saying instead of Bryce Johnson. I mean, Bryce Johnson keeps playing like he has, hit like he has. Then, you know, there's a place for him, maybe. But they play basically the same position. And so I really do think that it's down between them.
Right. Yeah, he's one of those, I mean, physical specimen is a word that I try not to use when talking about baseball players. But he's a guy, it looks like, one of those guys who might be successful in any sport you'd put in front of him.
And he was. Yeah. He was, by the way, I think an 11th round pick of the Pittsburgh Pirates. They paid him whatever, like a fifth round pick or whatever, because he was committed to play wide receiver at Michigan State.
There we go. There we go.
There you have it. He is an athlete.
He is an athlete. And I know we've been talking about him for the last couple of weeks here, just as somebody who might get a real chance. And yeah, they sure do seem to like him. Kevin, we're going to wrap here. We're coming up on our time a little bit, and I know you're back and need to get settled. But I'm going to put you on the spot because I always kind of do. And I'm not going to ask you about the NCAA tournament, even though it's big news in my house this week.
What?
It's going to be big news at Viejas Arena. I'm not going to ask you about that. What is the first question you're going to ask one of your Padre sources now that you're back in the clubhouse after a couple days away? What's it going to be? What's the thing you want to know about?
Well, the two things that we talked about, I'm sorry, I don't have. This one really did put me on the spot. I mean, this one really did, because I can't have a new one because there's those two, right? Like, that's all that's left on this team, right? Like, I have other ones, but I'm not going to, I mean, I'll tell you sometime if you want, but I can't say I'm here. I have other questions I'm going to be asking. But absolutely, if you, again, I always say, if you care about these sorts of things, because the truth is, you know, some of us do, and they are important. And Bryce Johnson and or Jace Bowen and or Mason McCoy or whoever can help you win games. You need those guys. The season starts, and we're going to be talking about five or six guys.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yes. And every once in a while, one of those guys is going to come in, steal a bag, whatever, you know. But, like, this is a pretty set lineup. And but for right now, man, I'm fired up. I'm fired up. Jace Bowen has opened eyes in this spring. I'm a big Bryce Johnson guy because I just think it's really cool that there's a guy who couldn't hit a lick who hit last year, and he's like a really cool Texas guy who, you know, did have some big moments last year. Merrill was hurt. I'm a big Bryce Johnson guy. So it's like, I'm like, wow, what's going to happen here? Because I thought Bryce Johnson had this job all the way. And so did other people. I mean, people that I base a lot of what I, you know, people that know more baseball than me, but the Jace Bowen's really stepped up. And then, of course, I got to know. The starting pitching is, depending on who you ask, is a dire situation for this team. That, you know, because of the uncertainty of Joe, will Michael King, who has not had a great spring, everybody has confidence in Michael King, but he hasn't had a great spring, and he made 15 starts last year. Like, what's he going to be like? I think there's confidence Pavetta is going to be good. Maybe not, you know, as effective as he was last year all the way through, but he's going to be good. Randy Vasquez is going to be fine. But what are they doing for 5, 6, 7? You need 7 solid. You're probably going to use 10 or 12 starters. But the depth of this starting pitching is a huge concern for people in this organization.
Yep. And keep in mind, Nick Pavetta was not the man for a long time before he was the man last year. Randy Vasquez was bad before he was good, right? You're counting on guys to have another sort of career outlier season to keep you going here. That's a little scary too.
It is. Yes, absolutely. That said, like, the things that are happening with Randy Vasquez suggest that, you know, here's 28, I think, 27. He's younger than you think. Like, that he's on this upward trajectory. And Nick Pavetta made some fixes, some changes, you know, that we talked about last year. And then there's some sort of things that he did that he learned. I'll be writing about that in a couple of days. I've got that coming up. I've got a really, what I happen to think, you're about to see it, Ryan, if I can find it here in my computer, send you my Tatis story for Sunday. He has some fascinating things to say, and some other people have some fascinating things to say about Tatis. Those are two of my big things, if you don't mind me touting, you know, our day job coming up. So excited about those. But yeah, like, the starting pitching, man, it can't be stated enough. It just can't. Like, you can have faith that AJ Preller is going to fix it. You can have hope that some new owner is going to come in and will let him sign Lucas Giolito, or if he's still available, or make a trade. And AJ will. He's chomping at the bit to do so. But right now, it is a really, really big question mark.
Yep, absolutely. I have an assignment for our producer, John Kelly. Here's what I'm thinking. At some point this year, Kevin, I want an Oscars style in memoriam video for all the fifth outfielders and swingmen and sixth inning guys who we've talked about in my 3 years of doing this show. I could see Eki Rosario, 2023 to 2025, you know, all these other guys, right? Because you are right. It is fun as heck to talk about the few position battles that they have, but I think it's a sign of where they are as a franchise, that we're talking about those and not like, you know, who's playing first base, right?
I have coaches come up to me and some from time to time now and say that I need to write about more of this guy or that guy or what's happening here or there, because what we've become now, it's so different than when I got back on the beat in 18. And if you think about those rosters, right? And what we were making a huge deal of, and it was these types of players, because the Padres were stocked with these types of players and they were neat stories. But now you have Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, Jackson Merrill. Like, that's what fans want to know. And by the way, that's how the Padres will go, is how those guys go.
Absolutely. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin, we're on a little roll here. I think we've had a couple good episodes in a row. And
mostly me getting out of your way. I like they start with a two, that the time on them starts with a two, like 26 minutes. I like that.
Shorter is better. We should have a pitch clock for our little podcast here.
I should for when I go on a ramble and then it starts to blink red for me. Yes.
Fantastic. Anyway, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Before we get to our 30-minute mark, for Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.